big slam.
Welcome to the Badger Basketball Postgame Show.
You always give me so much to talk about.
Brought to you by J&K Security Solutions. From home theaters to smart lighting to a universal home control, go online to jksecurity.com. Coming up, we'll break down tonight's game. Go inside the locker room with members of the Badger coaching staff. Plus, hear from you on the talk and text line at 414-799-1973.
That's playing through some contact.
The Wisconsin Badgers fall to number 5 Purdue tonight by a final score of 63-61. I'm Hunter Baumgart. I'll be joined by David Gasper and Ben Wergel as well later in the program, as I am live from the Kohl Center, in a Kohl Center that was loud, that was packed, that was the best crowd of the season. The seats were taken to the very top of this place. The energy was here throughout the entire night, from an hour before tip-off to halftime to late in the game till the final free throws. Crowd was in it. Crowd was fantastic tonight. The lines were around the building when I was walking in. The atmosphere was what you want in college basketball in March tonight, and unfortunately the Badgers came up just short. 63-61. And just short has been the mantra of the season for the Wisconsin Badgers. It's been just short. So when I look at tweets or texts or looking around at, hearing reaction at the Kohl Center and whatnot, and I see drastic changes need to be made, or, you know, this team is awful, this team has no talent. This was the 5th-ranked team in the country, and the Wisconsin Badgers had a lead late and nearly won it and lost by 2. And to other teams this year that are very good and could make a run in the tournament, Northwestern lost by 2. There's been games throughout this season that have been so close, and they end 5-5 at home in Big Ten play. They lose by 4 to Michigan State. They lose by 1 to Rutgers. They lose by 2 to Northwestern, by 2 to Purdue. And the lone blowout was by 10 to Illinois, if you call that a blowout. That is how the home schedule went in the Big Ten. And it's rare that the Badgers lose that many games at the Kohl Center, because the Kohl Center has been a place where teams do not win here, except the Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, the record is through the roof. I can't remember exactly but I know they had the 400th game here earlier this season, and it was like about 330 of those were wins. That's about what the record is. And so when you have to look at the big picture of all this and not just take the emotion. And who knows, because we come on about 20 minutes to a half hour after the game, maybe my emotion has subsided, but I want to have us take a logical approach to this. And if you don't, then that's fine. I'll take any thoughts or texts or calls at 414-799-1973. I'd love to take it here on the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. I will listen to any argument you have. But what I want to do is also be rational about how we think about this and how this game was played and how just a couple shots that could have been made by the Badgers, or a couple of moves, a turnover here. It wasn't really turnovers, but a missed shot here, or out of a timeout executing better. There were a lot of different things that happened in this basketball game, but I think we need to take a big picture look as well. Some things, let's fire off a couple of things quick, and then we'll take your texts and calls, as I mentioned. One of the things that I don't fully understand is Isaac Lindsay didn't play in the second half. There was only one player who scored for the Wisconsin Badgers in the last 6 minutes and 52 seconds of the first half, and that was Isaac Lindsay. And Isaac Lindsay didn't play the second half. That was a little questionable. It's Tyler Wall and Chucky Hepburn here. They just came out from the tunnel, and they're just walking up the stairs together. I don't know if they always do this. I have not seen them do this before. This obviously could have been Tyler Wall's final game at the Kohl Center. They're walking up one of the sections over there. Section 124. They're taking a slow walk up the stairs, talking about the game. Kind of take it in the moment, really, as they slowly walk up the stairs. So want to bring you a little, you know, hey, play-by-play of what's going on here at the Kohl Center. Give you a glimpse. They just walked over there. So, yeah, it can't be easy to lose all these close games, no doubt. So Isaac Lindsay, that was an interesting one. Obviously, Isaac Lindsay's not part of the normal constant rotation of this basketball team, but when someone's hot, they're hot. Now, Klesmet picked up where Isaac Lindsay left off, and he scored 17 points in the second half. He had 19 in the game to lead the Badgers, but 17 of those were in the second half. Late in the game, Purdue didn't score any field goals in the last 5 minutes and 42 seconds. Wisconsin didn't score any field goals in the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds. If Wisconsin makes a field goal or two in the final 3.5 minutes, the Badgers probably are storming the court at the end of that game. The fans are. It's just been a matter of inches. It's been a matter of just slight adjustments or slight misses by this Wisconsin Badgers team that has cost them this season. So taking your thoughts, 414-799-1973. And so Jerry says, I finally have succumbed to the fact that this team isn't good enough to win versus top-tier teams in the Big Ten. As a fan, it hurts. Just playing stinks. Just plain stinks. On to next year. I think it's interesting, Jerry. I do, you know, against the top tier of the Big Ten. Obviously, you look at the Big Ten standings right now as we look at it, and you've got Purdue at the top. You've got Illinois, then Indiana, Northwestern. Some of their worst losses were to Illinois and Indiana, but Purdue, they took, you know, lost by two. Northwestern, they lost by two. Maryland was another kind of blowout game, but then they also beat them here at the Kohl Center. They swept Iowa. So, you know, I don't know if they're not, you know, not good enough necessarily to do it, but I think there is a drop-off from talent, I think, from the top of the Big Ten to the Wisconsin Badgers. But again, they played up to a loss by two. Greg Gard is speaking at the podium. So let's go just hear a couple of minutes from Greg Gard here down here at the Kohl Center.
But, I mean, for this group, my biggest thing is I'd like to see them be rewarded because they're doing so many good things and so many things right, and they've given us every single thing they have. I mean, obviously Purdue's got a terrific team this year, but they just continue to battle and have followed our plan. Really well. It's obviously not perfect, but no team is. I'd just like to see them get rewarded and be able to get over the hump here.
Todd in the back.
Greg, you had shots to extend the lead with 2.5, 3 minutes to go. What did you think about those chances? You take those, or is that something you feel like you could have gone a little bit different way?
Well, if the ball goes in, a great shot, right? I mean, Chucky's was good. I mean, you had like 6 possessions in 5 minutes, according to the log I've got here. Some of them were in a shot clock situation. I thought Chucky's was a good one. He's hit that shot fake side dribble before. Tyler had to shoot it a couple times. At Max, we got exactly where we wanted to the 20 seconds ago. I have to see the film on if he had his balance and if he got in there, you know, a little too fast or out of where he couldn't jump stop and gather and get the ball up on the backboard and have his momentum. So, I mean, that's the line we're walking, that we've got to be able to make plays. And it's not only the offensive end tonight. It was there in the last, you know, 2-3 minutes. But we just got to keep helping them get better in that area.
Jeff?
In a game like this, you'll always point to possessions earlier in the game. That the first half, too many points off turnovers. Did you give them Purdue?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, like I said, in a low possession game, you know, it's going to be a battle. And we can set our defense in the half court. We're pretty good. You know, you can't set your defense when you're throwing pick sixes. So that's in those 4 points, man, in a 2-point game. Love to have those back.
Right here, Coach.
Greg, with Zach Edey, obviously you doubled him quite a bit, and it looked like you got into the passing lanes a few times when they tried to feed it to him inside. Just what was the overall plan of attack for him tonight?
Well, it's you try to keep the ball out of his hands as much as you can, but obviously they move him around and change the angle of the entry. So, you know, trying to keep ball pressure on passers. We got some deflections at times. Times we didn't have our hands up, and they zipped it over the top of us. You know, I think we did a decent job on him for the most part. Obviously, you know, it's probably National Player of the Year. You know, he should be. You know, he just – and then he gets on the glass, too. He's improved so much in his time there, and he can play in longer stretches. And he plays 33 tonight, and, you know, in years past, he could barely play 20. So that's a credit to him. He's made himself from where he was you know, coming there to where he is now. He's made himself into a really good player because he works. And I've had several conversations with Matt. So you have, and he's always commented about how hard the kid works. He wants to be a good player, and it shows.
Right back here, Coach.
Coach here. Tyler Walsh shot 2 of 11 today. What did you think about his aggressiveness offensively and his shot selection throughout the game?
Well, I'll grade shot selection out as I watch the tape, but, you know, I know between getting double-teamed or having they had Edey on him. So at 7-4, 7-5, whatever, it's not, you know, you can't get to – it's hard to get to back downs and to get to places where he's efficient from. You know, I know 1 for 9 from 2, so I'll look for that. I'll look at that and dissect that in terms of what shots he shouldn't have taken. But, you know, that's a – that's a tough guy to have to score over the top of.
That's Greg Gard there at the Kohl Center. Here at the Kohl Center, I should say, because that's where we are. I'm Hunter Baumgart. David Gasper and Ben Wergel will join me in a bit here at the Kohl Center. This is the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. So there's Greg Gard talking about some of the shots late. You know, Tyler Walt was 2 for 11 tonight. And when you look at what the Badgers were coming into the season, you thought Wall and Hepburn were going to be kind of your top scorers. And Hepburn had 13 tonight. He was your second leading scorer, 5 for 12. But when Wall just scores 5 points, 2 for 11, that is going to be tough. And I'm sure he wanted to have a better output on senior night. But again, he also, on the other hand, drew Zach Edey, which seeing this guy in person for the first time, I mean, he could – I felt like his head was at the rim. I mean, it was just like he could tap in anything. He could put in anything off the glass. I mean, there's just a lot of the times David and I would look at each other and go, how do you even defend that? I mean, I don't even know how you defend that. So going back to the talk and text line here, and we'll get to the talk part of the talk and text line in just a moment. But two, that kind of we have two texts here. Brad says, hey, Hunter, I think you're being a little soft on the loss. Very winnable game. Big picture. ? So big picture. This was make or break for punching a ticket to the big dance. So that's Brad. Nick from Middleton says, you hit the nail on the head. We're cumulatively 10 to 15 points away from being a top 25 team. That Nick from Middleton, that's where I'm kind of going with that. Brad, I don't think the big picture, maybe that was the wrong phrase to use. I'm not saying, like, take this loss and look at it down the road, although I do think some of these losses, because this is a younger team and everybody can return, including Tyler Wall, if he chooses to, can return next year. I think these tight losses should help them in the long run, but not that necessarily big picture. Big picture meaning this team is so close, and what Nick was saying, 10 to 15 points from being a top 25 team, and you're not wrong. I mean, these losses have been so close. These you lose by, let's say you lose, you know, they lost by 10 to Illinois at the Kohl Center on January 28th. I think that was the snowstorm game. They lost by 10 to Illinois that night. That looks like a blowout compared to some of the other, because so many of the other games, they lost by 2, or they lost by 3, or they lost by 1. Like, those have been the other losses by the Wisconsin Badgers this year, that you look at that and you think it's a blowout, but 10 isn't this massive gap between winning and losing. So I just think that's where I'm coming from more. It's big picture. When you look at the whole season, you look at the whole schedule, it has just been every game, it seems like, and a lot of them have been just a couple more shots. And they made their shots tonight in the second half, except for late in the game. And they've had these stretches, and it's hard not to, you know, looking at college basketball, I you know, obviously the Wisconsin Badgers, you know, shooting and getting to 61 points tonight. That's a little below the average for college basketball. But overall, it's not like it was way down tonight. They just, the last 3:30, they couldn't make field goals. Purdue clamped down on defense as well, and it came up to a really quick loss. Let's go out to Rick from Chicago on the Talk and Text line. Rick, how are you tonight?
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Another tough one. I know it's a rationalization, but as someone I think mentioned before, maybe this will all help for next year. So many close games, so many losses. I do want to focus on Steve Crowell and Tyler Wahl. God bless them, but, you know, this is a game at home for your NCAA tournament life. And Tyler Wahl getting 2 field goals and 2 rebounds, I know it's tough down low, and I know Edie is a force, but you got to do better than that. I mean, you are a veteran leader on this team. The team counts on you, and I just think you have to do better than that. I guess my one question for you guys is, do you think the Badgers are – able or capable of going to the portal next year and getting that money player? Is that too much to expect? Do you think the Badgers can attract someone that can come in and maybe score 12 to 14 points a game, maybe more, and be that money player? Because they just don't have it right now on this team.
Yeah, Rick, appreciate the phone call. I think it's definitely something they're going to explore. Greg Gard has said that he's going to explore that option, obviously the portal, and it has to be. I think it's possible. I don't think it's probable. I don't know if you get like a money player. Like, I don't know if you're, you know, I guess it'd be, what is a money player? You know, are you going to get a Johnny Davis type player, right? It's probably not, and I don't even know if that'd be possible in the portal necessarily. But I do think you could get a solid player or two from the portal. I think they do, especially inside. You started with Crowell and Wahl there, and that is where this team has struggled throughout the season, is getting the ball inside, and then if they're not making shots from the outside, that kind of dooms this team. And so tonight was another example of that. And I get, you know, Wall's a leader, and absolutely, and he should have done more tonight. He should have been more productive. But as we mentioned, a 7-4 guy was guarding him. Not that that's a total excuse, but I think that's reason, a logical reason for what that was, how that was going. Now you look at, I wanted to look at Max Klesmit here, because he was a transfer, and he was off the transfer portal, and he's averaging 8 points a game. So it's a little below what Rick from Chicago was saying, the 12 to 14. So if you're talking 12 to 14, you're talking to Chucky Hepburn, you're talking to Connor Asijan. Those are your two guys that have averaged 12 or over this season. So I think if you want that type of guy, it's going to be tough. I think to be 100% honest with you, I don't know if they attract that type of guy, but it would have to be a guy that fits their system, and it would have to fit the Wisconsin way as well. I'm Hunter Baumgart. We're going to take a quick break. Wisconsin loses 63-61 to Purdue. More of your thoughts on the way at 414-799-1973. You're listening to the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.
J&K Security Solutions. From home security to automation, J&K Security Solutions has you covered. Go to jksecurity.com for more info.
Oh, yeah, that music will wake you up even at 11 o'clock at night after a Badgers 63-61 loss to Purdue, fifth-ranked Purdue. And welcome back to the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. As we are with you, I'm Hunter Baumgartner, now joined by David Gasper, who was just at the press conferences of Greg Gard and the players. We heard some of Greg Gard try to get to the players as we go forward as well. Before we go forward at all, though, let's give our stations a time to identify themselves. 10 for an ID. This is the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. Hunter Baumgart alongside David Gasper here at the Kohl Center. Badgers fall 63-61 to Purdue. David, We've sat here and talked about close losses all season long.
Oh, yeah.
In these very seats. I said that to Jeff back at the studio, and he said, you need to change seats. I said, well, I think I have switched between these two seats twice. I think I've sat here a couple of times, that a couple of times. I don't know what else you do. You just, if they make one or two more shots, they win this basketball game. What was the mood down there like?
It was pretty dejected. The players especially, they came in before Matt Painter.
Okay.
Purdue head coach. So they came in, I mean, Tyler Wall, Chucky Hepburn, they were just kind of staring at the floor, staring at the table, looking at the stat sheet in front of them. They weren't really looking up. I mean, it was definitely a tough one for them to take. I mean, senior night here for Tyler Wall, big crowd, big game that they know that they could have had. They know it was right there, and it just kind of continues. I mean, you had this against Michigan. They know they should have had that one, and they end up falling short. And the same thing here, and, you know, having that back-to-back, it's so tough. And then just kind of how it's been with the whole season for you after a while. And, you know, these guys, they're definitely going through it. You know, they just got to, you know, be able to get back up, and you got to get the win against Minnesota on Sunday. But this is definitely a tough one for them to take.
It is, and Barb in Brookfield says that as well. She said, quote, it has been, on the talk and text line, by the way, it has been 4-4, 799-1973. Yes. There you go. It has been such a brutal season, close, but they just can't finish. Thought they would have won, thought they could have won tonight. They could have. She said, Brian Butch said, we should be able to beat Minnesota, but they just beat Rutgers tonight. Not going to for sure be a win. So, also, Chucky is frustrating, too. Can't do the fade. He's not always on money for the three. He had a late shot, and Greg Gard actually said that he was fine with the shot that he took.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad angle from our vantage point, but from his vantage point, maybe it wasn't. Obviously, they are way closer to that shot than we are. I don't know if Chucky was completely to blame tonight. It's not like he just hogged the ball late. They were able to get some ball movement going, but again, it just comes down to a couple possessions, and they just couldn't put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the way. I mean, you go down the final 3.5 minutes and they don't get a field goal in those final 3.5 after they take the Klusmet layup and take the lead there.
Yeah.
Just unable to get it going. They were unable to get to the free throw line as well. Just one free throw until the final, like, 6 seconds when Purdue was fouling up three. Just one free throw, a Carter Gilmore and one. You know, they weren't really able to get to the line. There were a lot of turnovers that led to points for Purdue. I mean, that first half was especially sloppy for Wisconsin. I mean, in that first half, they had, what, 6 turnovers? You know, that led to 9 points for Purdue. I mean, just those things piled. That's uncharacteristic for Wisconsin. Some bad passes. And even coming out of the half, you know, the first play, I mean, Wisconsin's supposed to get coming out of a timeout, and it gets turned over. Purdue steals it and it turns into points. It's just things like that pile up. But, you know, the missed shots late, that's what sticks in everyone's minds when you come down to it, and it's a one possession game.
No doubt. And we are going to get Ben Wergel's thoughts coming up on it. We'll continue to talk about it. We'll continue to take your calls and texts. 414-799-1973 is the phone number. From home security to automation, J&K Security Solutions has you covered. Go to jksecurity.com for more info. He's David Gasper. I'm Hunter Baumgart, live at the Kohl Center. Ben Wergel going to join us next. You're listening to the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.
Security! J&K Security Solutions can give you the power you never thought possible. Learn how J&K can integrate your world.
We have a security breach.
Visit jksecurity.com.
Hunter Baumgart alongside David Gasper live at the Kohl Center as we continue the J&K Security Solutions postgame show. J&K Security Solutions, from home theaters to smart lighting to universal home control, go online to jksecurity.com. Badgers fall 63-61 to number 5 Purdue tonight. And the Wisconsin Badgers, well, they might just have to, well, we were just talking, David, about this. They probably need to get to Saturday of the Big Ten tournament. They probably at least need to win 2 games, even if they play mm-hmm. Wednesday, which there's a real possibility they play Wednesday as the 11 seed, then they would probably win Wednesday, have to win Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe even Friday to get into the Big Ten tournament, and that win on Sunday against Minnesota. That's kind of the path that it seems like right now. Let's bring in Ben Wergel. He covers the Badgers for Rivals.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at TheBadgerNation. And Ben, thanks so much for joining us as always. Another close loss tonight, this one to the number 5 team in the country. What were your thoughts as this game was ending and how it ended up losing by 2?
Well, I thought Purdue played very well defensively. And, I mean, that's what you would expect from a team that has really been among the top teams in the country this entire year. And you knew it was going to be a challenge for Wisconsin to score inside with the way Edie has played. I think watching him tonight, really for the first time all season, kind of up close and personal, I was impressed by just the way he affects the game. You know, Wisconsin certainly got him maybe a little riled early. Didn't really was that productive from the free throw line, just 1 of 6. But once he found his rhythm, he was unstoppable. You know, coming off double teams and single coverage, he passes the ball exceptionally well and finds open teammates. His ability to draw attention allowed for teammates to be open. And I mean, Joe Kravanoff said that he might be one of the toughest mismatches in the history of the Big Ten. And you can believe it. I mean, you can't replicate that kind of size and that kind of skill level in your scout team. And I thought Wisconsin, you know, did well in terms of kind of cutting off the other pieces of Purdue, but you know, to me, it just kind of comes down to the inability to execute on 2-point field goals. And, you know, you go 10 of 24 from three. You know, that's great, but, you know, just 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Not the ability not to get there, which has been a theme for this team all season long. And then going 13 for 34 on 2-point field goals and only having 10 layup attempts. Just not maybe selling too often for jump shots. Which has been an issue for this team. And you have to give credit to Purdue because, you know, when Wisconsin was unable to execute on Sunday, up three and fouling, Purdue did masterfully well tonight where they were able to be up three and foul, get Wisconsin to the line, and never let them attempt that game-winning shot or that game-tying shot until Klesmet's final heave in the closing seconds that came up well short and was well defended. So, you know, there's a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda here for Wisconsin, but I think Purdue, you know, lived up to the billing of a team that is the Big Ten, the undisputed Big Ten champion this year.
Yeah, and as much as they lived up to the billing, I mean, Wisconsin was right there. I mean, this whole time, I mean, that game was there for the taking. You know, as much as, you know, Purdue played well, you know, it was there. I mean, Purdue, they didn't shoot well from three. That was really kind of the big thing for them, you know, that they had a lot of open looks there and they just weren't able to sink them, and that kind of kept Wisconsin in it. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, not much really happening around the paint, just 10 layups attempted. And they only had one free throw heading into the final 10 seconds of the game. I mean, four of those five free throws came in the final 10 seconds. And it was, you know, with the low points in the paint, it was a quiet night for Stephen Crowell, and it's understandably so. You're going up against Zach Edey. I mean, he's 4 inches taller than Stephen Crowell. It's not often he faces a guy with that size, but Crowell, you know, just 1 of 5 from the field. They just weren't able to find, you know, mismatches for him, get him going. Even when Edey was out or they had someone else on Crowell, they weren't able to get it to him and get him going.
I think there was a stretch in the second half where Edie sat down that Wisconsin is going to look back and really kind of kick themselves, where Edie sits down, and so you don't have that size in the interior. And Wisconsin missed 5 straight shots, all from the perimeter. They didn't attack the lane. That was the time to attack the lane, to try to be aggressive inside without, you know, the 7-4 behemoth in the middle of the paint. And Wisconsin didn't do that. They settled for jump shots. And, I mean, you can understand Wisconsin's kind of doing that to a degree when Edie's on the floor. I mean, this is a jump shooting team. It's not a team that is very prolific with their depth in the front court. You can argue too that there's a talent mismatch there too in this game with the front court, that, you know, if there's shots open on the perimeter, you take it, or if you get separation from Edie when you're on the perimeter in the mid-range, you take it. I thought that stretch in the second half, I need to look exactly in my notes exactly what it was, but it just was surprising that Wisconsin wasn't willing to attack when Edie was out. And I'm sure that's going to be going over in film tomorrow, that was the opportunity that Wisconsin could have gone in and take advantage, try to get to the line, try to get something to go at the paint. And they just didn't do that. And, you know, in addition to Crowell, you know, Tyler Wall, 5 points, 2 of 11 shooting, 1 for 9 in 2-point field goals. And he didn't attempt a free throw in this game. So both those guys really were handcuffed by Purdue and Zach Edie. And it forced Wisconsin to be a perimeter-oriented team, and you know, I think some guys took advantage of that. I thought Max Klesmit played great in the second half, 17 of his 19 points. Mm-hmm. I thought Isaac Lindsay was great early when Asijan was down. I wish I would have seen him a little bit more in the second half.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we were talking about up here. Where's Isaac Lindsay?
Yeah.
I mean, he was 3-for-3, and he was 2-for-2 from three-point range. And, yeah, I mean, he was the hot hand in the first half. I mean, if you would have told me in November, if I would have told you in November that Isaac Lindsay and Max Klesmit were going to carry Wisconsin against Purdue, you would have thought I was crazy. But it was true. And Lindsay was the main reason why Wisconsin was just down 4 at halftime. Then we didn't see him in the second half. And it's not like Wisconsin was shooting the lights out in the second half either. I mean, they're 5-of-13 from the perimeter and I think 37.5% from the field. I would like to see Isaac Lindsay a little bit in the second half, just kind of extend that rotation, especially when you weren't getting much from Jordan Davis and Kamari McGee was having an off-night shooting as well.
Ben Wergel joining us here on the J&K Security Solutions post-game show. J&K Security Solutions can give you the power you never thought possible. Learn how J&K can integrate your world. Visit jksecurity.com. All right, we play this out in Minnesota on Sunday, Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament possibly. What do they need to do over the – we've asked this question for a couple weeks now, and every time it seems they have a chance to kind of not get locked in but get close to locked in, they don't necessarily win that basketball game. They don't tonight. They've got their work cut out for them. What do you see as a path to the NCAA tournament?
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think the only scenario where they do not play on Wednesday is if they win against Minnesota and then Nebraska and Penn State both lose. I think that's the only way that Wisconsin is the 10th seed and avoids playing early. But, I mean, if they lose to Minnesota, you know, they're the 12th seed, they're going to play Ohio State, and then they're in a heap of trouble. Then you not only have lost three in a row, you have a really ugly loss on your resume to Minnesota, which is probably going to be a quad three loss. I was impressed with how Minnesota played. So, I mean, that's not going to be a pushover either, where Minnesota broke their 12-game losing streak by beating Rutgers at home on a last second three. So that game looks a little bit more treacherous than it originally thought. You know, they've really run out of major quad one opportunities here. I think Ohio State's a quad one opportunity for them, but I mean, that's really not going to move the needle, in my opinion, if you beat Ohio State, the number 13 seed in the Big Ten. They need to find something here. And, you know, we feel like we've been saying that now for the last 2 months, and it's hard to picture that this team is going to put together a solid stretch of games here. But, you know, in all honesty, they've been close. They've been close so many times this year. I mean, look, they were 5-5 in Big Ten games at home this year, and those five losses were by a combined 19 points. That's 3.8 points per game. I mean, they've been close. And their last three losses have all been by one possession, to Northwestern, to Rutgers, and now tonight their last three losses at home. So, I mean, they've been right there. They just haven't been able to push themselves over the edge. So what's it going to take? Well, they need to get Lady Luck back on their side. They need to avoid the pothole that's Minnesota on Sunday. And then they just have to win. They have to play well. I don't know if they have to win the tournament or even get to the championship, but they need to pile up some quad one wins to try to make your resume look a little bit better than where they sit now. Because right now, you look at their profile, it's lacking with quality wins, and it's a 16-13 team that's going to finish under 500 in Big Ten play. Just, it doesn't scream NCAA tournament team to me right now.
Yeah, and, you know, Lady Luck hasn't really been smiling on them all season. Smiled on them a lot last season, but yeah. not quite so much this year. And, I mean, you mentioned, you know, Nebraska and Penn State needing them both to lose on Sunday. Penn State is taking on number 21-ranked Maryland, and mm-hmm. Nebraska is taking on Iowa.
In Iowa.
So, I mean, there's a solid opportunity there that we could end up seeing that happen.
Yeah, but you almost kind of wish that they would play Ohio State, right? Because Ohio State's quad one. And, you know, that's an opportunity.
And they beat Ohio State earlier in the year.
Correct, yeah. I mean, that was a game that they tried to lose. They were up 19 points in that game and nearly lost. I mean, and then, you know, then they're going to play. If they're the 10th seed, then they'll play either, I think, Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, or Northwestern. So it's a whole host of teams that they've played. Some of them have been decent matchups. Some of them have been close losses. Illinois would be a terrible matchup for them, in my opinion. So they need to figure it out, and they need to just kind of keep plowing forward because that's really all they can do. I mean, they're a team that is playing with very little margin for error. I thought that they played fairly well tonight, considering how good Purdue is. But again, you know, if Stephen Crowell finishes that put back off the offensive rebound, if they go inside a little bit more when Edie is out, if Max Klesman makes that layup through traffic, the students are probably still in the court right now. And we're talking about this team may have just, you know, got that quality win and maybe punched the ticket tonight. Now they're even closer to the bubble, and, you know, I think they're in a heap of trouble now, just because they don't have those major eye-popping, resume-building wins left on their schedule.
Yeah, completely agree. And they did have the ability for those to be added, you know, just a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the end of this schedule. They had, you know, opportunities to beat Michigan and to beat Purdue. They weren't able to do it here this last week. Ben, really appreciate the time as we have throughout the season. We will talk to you after the game against Minnesota, and we'll see where we stand then.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. Ben Wergel, join him on, follow him on Twitter. You can join him there too, at The Badger Nation. And he covers the Badgers for Rivals.com. And great, great Badger foul. So follow. So definitely do that. And you can see his post game article up there as well. He's David Gasper. I'm Hunter Baumgart. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. We'll look ahead to Minnesota, who got a thrilling win in the barn tonight against Rutgers. So they'll be coming off of that. They get to host the Badgers Sunday night. We'll look ahead to that. We'll get Fun Fact with Dave and send you on your merry way. 414-799-1973. What are we going to say? We're going to send David
on. Words.
Yeah, it's too many probably. Yeah, everybody's screaming.
It's getting late.
Jeff, it's 11:23. Yeah. Jeff back at the studio is like, Hunter, just go to break so I can hit this button. So he's laughing back there. Yeah, I'm right on your page there. So what I'm going to say is this is the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.
J&K Security Solutions. From home theaters to smart lighting to a universal home control, go online to jksecurity.com.
Hunter Baumgart and David Gasper at the Kohl Center finishing up the J&K Security Solutions postgame show, and the Badgers fall 63-61 to Purdue. Purdue ranked fifth in the country, and they have won the Big Ten title outright, and Wisconsin did that exact same thing against Purdue. Not outright, but they won the share of the Big Ten title last year here on this court when Chucky Hepburn hit that shot. We were wondering maybe Max Klesmit could have at that last-second shot. We haven't really talked about that last-second shot. Did you have any qualms with that? I mean, there's a couple people who told me, you know, Tyler Wall was out there on the wing on the right, but he would have been contested, and Klesmit was hot in the second half, so I like him having the ball there. Would have liked him to go a little further maybe before the shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes down to, I mean, you had 4 seconds left. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to do, you know, extra passes there as you're going up the court gets really risky. You know, I liked Klesman taking the shot. It was just really good defense from Purdue. I mean, they forced him to take a long angle running across. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of traffic there. Chucky Hepburn was over there as well. They're trying to figure out what to do, and Klesman trying to cut back. And, you know, he ended up with not a great shot from the logo that just ended up well short. And it was just great defense by Purdue. I mean, there wasn't really much Klesman could do. I don't think there's anything that the Badgers could have done better in that moment, in those final 4 seconds. It was just really well played by Purdue.
One of the other things that happened in those last 10 seconds was Purdue was up by 3 multiple times. They fouled.
Yes.
Fouled Wisconsin. We all know
controversial.
Everybody was saying, you know, against Michigan, they should have fouled up 3. Guard said after the game they were trying to foul between that 10 and 2 second mark, and they were trying to fouled there in, you know, in those 8 seconds. They were trying to foul, and then, you know, obviously the Dickinson, and they weren't trying to foul there in those last 2 seconds. So since that was the case, people were like, well, look, it's easy to foul. And that's true. It is easy to foul in theory. I think they could have tried a little harder. You know, Greg Gard was kind of making fun of that fact earlier in the week when he's like, what do you do? Do you foul harder? I think you have to. But also tonight, it felt like in the second half, you could, you know, step a toe on somebody and it'd be a foul. So
yeah, especially Zach Edey. I mean, how many fouls did that guy draw?
Yeah, a lot.
Let's see what
you
we got.
Count
in
him
here.
Up. Well, he's a guy too. Like I was saying earlier, I mean,
seven. He drew 7 fouls.
I mean, and there's really no. And you were saying earlier in the game, like Hakka Edey.
Yeah,
like, you know,
hack a Zach.
That's the best way to put it.
It flows better.
It does flow better, and that's true. I mean, the hack a Zach was working earlier in the game specifically. I mean, he went one for his first four, I believe.
One for six.
See, there you go. We got to get your fun fact in a minute, but yeah. So the one for six there, and it was working early. It's hard to defend him, obviously, but that foul in the last 10 seconds. That was how exactly. I think how Greg Gard, if he would have had his druthers against Michigan on Sunday, that 10 seconds of how Purdue executed it would have been how Wisconsin would have executed it against Michigan on Sunday. And that is where this gap is. I mean, that's why Purdue's the fifth-ranked team in the country at the top of the Big Ten, and Wisconsin is 11th. That's just, there's a gap there in execution.
Yeah, I mean, when it came down to it, I mean, Purdue was missing a lot of shots, you know, earlier in the game. They had Wisconsin sticking around, and Wisconsin was able to take a lead there for a little bit. But when it came down to crunch time, Purdue locked in. They didn't make mistakes. They didn't make turnovers. They made the shots that they needed to. They had excellent defense while not fouling unless they were intentionally trying to.
Sure.
And when it came down to crunch time, they locked in. And Wisconsin, when it came down to crunch time, they did not make the shots. They weren't locked in, at least not offensively, and they weren't able to pull it out. And that's really kind of been the story when it comes down to crunch time, because we've seen with all these close games this year, when it comes down to it, they haven't made the shots. They put themselves in the position. I can't even count how many times. They put themselves in the position for the final shot. Comes down to the final possession. They have a chance to win it, a chance to tie it, and they just aren't able to make the shot. Whether they get a good look, whether it's a bad look, they aren't able to score when they get in the final minute, needing a shot to tie, to win, whatever it is. That's just been the story of the season. Last year, they were hitting it all the time.
Yeah, those would go in.
Every single time it was going in.
Johnny
It was mostly Johnny taking those final shots. But now it's been Chucky. It's been Max has been taking
a Sejan.
So it's been different. They don't have a Johnny Davis. So, whether you call it luck, whether it's just not having a star player, they just haven't been able to execute in those final moments. And Purdue, they were able to, and that's why they're the number 5 ranked team in the country.
Right, and Purdue was inbounding under 10 seconds left. One of those times they're inbounding. I think it was the one where Tyler Wall almost got the steal and he knocked it away for a brief second, and then Purdue grabbed it. And right before that, I said to you, just one clutch moment. Yeah. This team just needs one clutch moment to propel
them.
Yeah, one shot, one steal, one something. And unfortunately, it didn't come up. So we wrap up soon here, the J&K Security Solutions postgame show, from home theaters to smart lighting to universal home control. Go online at jksecurity.com. Let's get our fun fact with Dave.
Yes, very fun fact. And, you know, this is something that we've been harping on all season.
Yes.
Free throws, right?
Yeah.
They've been bad at it all season. But tonight,
ooh,
the first night of the year, the first game of the year, they shot 100% from the free throw line.
That's fantastic.
They only got there 5 times, and 4 of them came in the final 10 seconds when Purdue was intentionally fouling them. But they shot 100% from the free throw line. Baby steps. Now we need to do that, instead of 5 attempts, maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe 20. That would be better. Shoot 100% from that. But, hey, they shot 100% from the free throw line, so no complaints there.
Got to give credit where credit's due. That's the least amount of free throws they've had in the game all season long. Otherwise, they shot just 6 against Nebraska. That game was in overtime, too.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that game.
No.
So that was in Nebraska. So, anyway, yeah, so that's a great point, and that's something that obviously hindered them, but they just didn't get to the line. Obviously hindered them in games past was the free throw percentage at the line, but they just didn't get there tonight. So the Badgers play Minnesota coming up on Sunday. It's their final regular season game. Minnesota's 2-16 in the conference. They're 8-20 overall. It's a game you gotta win. They beat Minnesota by 3 here on January 3rd. That was the last time they won back-to-back games. They're not going to be able to win back-to-back games, obviously, here because they lost tonight. But you need to win there, and you need to run in the tournament, and we're going to be with you through all of it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the big one. I mean, as much as it always comes down to Minnesota, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, it always comes down
weekend,
to Minnesota at the end of the season. And,
yeah,
you know, again, kind of like football, whether the season can be determined as a success or a failure depends on if you beat the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an axe in this one.
No.
But,
is there something in the barn?
Is there a horse?
Know.
Do you want a horse? You win a cow to take
you
back
win a
to
cow.
Wisconsin.
There you go.
Yeah, there
yes,
it is.
That would actually be perfect.
Yeah.
But,
you win a
they
gopher.
They should do that for basketball games. Yeah. Season series, though. Home and home, and then you see who wins. But or you could actually trade it. Like if it was Wisconsin, or let's say it's, I don't know, Michigan State, Michigan. Michigan State wins at home, and then Michigan wins at home. You get the trophy there. And anyway, yeah. It's way too late to be trying to draw up this. But anyway, he's David Gasper. We were joined by Ben Wergel earlier. Once again, our final here tonight at the Kohl Center, Purdue. Fifth-ranked team in the country, 63, Wisconsin, 61. Another close loss. We'll be with you after the game against Minnesota. We'll also be with you after every game they win in the Big Ten tournament, and I'm hoping it's a lot because they need it.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And, hey, we'll talk to you then, David.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you then. One final time here from the Kohl Center.
Yes.
This season.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's been great
it
to be here.
It was popping tonight.
It was great. Best crowd of the year. 100%.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic. Thanks to KC back in Madison. Thanks to Jeff back in the Milwaukee studios. Thanks to you for listening. We'll talk to you after the Minnesota game. Have a safe drive home if you're still driving. Have a great night. This has been the J&K Security Solutions postgame show.